all the other internet. All right, we're going to talk all the things sabotage. I was going to start the call with the Beastie Boys Sabotage song, but I didn't get that far. So anyway, just so you know, that might happen in one of the calls. Just to re-say one more time, if you have questions, they go in the Q&A. If you are wanting to chat, all you got to do, is like turn on all panelists and attendees, and Coach MJ is over there helping you guys. All right, I think we're ready to go. So here's my notes. You have thoughts stopping you. That, like, literally the, like, baseline of the entire program is self-sabotage comes down to one thing. I'm going to notice I'm not doing the things I say I'm going to do, and I'm going to find the sentence causing me not to do it. That's it. Like, this is everything when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to feeling better, when it comes to all the things. Whatever I'm doing that I don't want to be doing, or whatever result that I'm getting that I don't like, or whatever feeling that I have that I don't love, I don't need to blame jack shit. And I only need to find a sentence that I'm thinking in the moment. So here's how I do my work when I am doing my personal work. I like do models and stuff every day, but I do like one. Like, I don't sit around and every time I feel bad, I'm doing like a million models and all day long, like, oh my God, I had a bad day. Like, I'm doing models. Here's what I do. This is the shortcut to all of it. I feel tired. I'm procrastinating or whatever. And I just ask myself, what sentence is causing this right now? What could I be thinking right now? Oh, it's because I'm just thinking. I do that all the time. So like when you guys are thinking about self-sabotage, all I want you to do is I want you to get better at telling yourself, the only reason why I'm feeling this way or the only reason why I'm doing this is because of this sentence. Now, a lot of people are like, well, I don't know what sentence, Corinne. Yeah, you do. I just want it. That's a sentence. It tastes good. Another fucking sentence. Guess what? Neither one of those help you lose weight. They're very self-sabotaging thoughts. Now, you can dig around deep in there in your journals and all this other bullshit if you want to, figuring out those sentences and what's underneath them. Or you can just understand, I just want it is a thought that doesn't help you lose weight if you don't say something else. So I just want it is something running around in my brain right now. I just want it. Is the sentence causing me to have an urge right now? I just want it. Is a sentence I'm thinking right now. I just want it. Is a sentence I'm thinking. And I also want weight loss. That's like literally all you got to be doing. But you've got to be doing that a lot. So y'all are going to be like, what? This is going to solve all my weight loss? What you telling me, Corinne? It's going to stop my urges? No, not dead in their tracks tomorrow. It's not going to do that. But all of you have got to be willing to do that kind of thinking over and over and over again for a while until you train your brain to start thinking the extra stuff so that when you are wanting something, you also start automatically thinking, I just want it is a sentence running in my brain right now rather than just like, oh my God, I just want it. And then you just feel terrible. And this is what typically happens. If you don't tell your brain what to put in the parentheses after I just want it, guess what it does? I just want it, and this fucking sucks. I just want it, and I'm always going to want it, and this is terrible. I just want it. I wish this thought would go away. That's what happens. You got your and but, and you got your parentheses thoughts going on. Guess what? You got to control that parentheses. Most of you, though, are just hearing the, I just want it. And then you're just like, I'm all in. Because I want you to start doing this. I want you to start training the parentheses. That's the next level work, literally. I think a lot of you are just like, oh, my God. I don't know about this mod on a cell download stuff. Oh, my God. I don't know about all this life thought work. That's thought work. Thought work is a lot less complicated and a lot less exciting than most of you think it is. It's not nearly as terrifying. It's about finding little bullshit self-sabotaging thoughts in controlling the and but or the next or whatever you want to add after it. And then it's just practicing it over and over and over again. And let me just tell you, when you first start doing it, 90% of the time you're going to forget to put your parentheses in. That's okay. If you're doing it 10% of the time, you're doing it 10% more than you were yesterday. Your brain starts noticing, what's she doing? She wants to think something else too. And if you keep doing it, your brain starts making that 10% go to 20, and 20 becomes 40. It starts doubling. Remember in the program I talk about, your brain loves a good set of habits. Doesn't mean they're always effective, but anything that you keep trying to make it think, it's going to want to put it into the habits, the habit thinking. So what you want to do is you want to allow yourself, like, okay, so I need to know my story around my food. I need to know my stories. I need to know those thoughts because they are now the triggers to cue me to think something else. Whereas what you guys have been like, the trigger to beat the fuck out of myself and judge myself for having busted thoughts. It's a no. We're going to use it as a trigger to be like, okay, I need to know as many of my self-sabotaging thoughts because now they're going to trigger me to think the new thing. And the more I write the new thing and the more that I find the thoughts and the more awareness that I create around all of it, guess what happens? I have a lot of really good triggers to start changing the relationship I have with my food and to have with my body and to have with my environment and all the things. I think that's the most important thing that comes out of this first part. Is like really understanding your stories, because all of your stories are a collection of sentences running through your brain that if you don't allow them to be the triggers for creating a new story that you want, you just keep the old one. And whether you want to look at it or not, guess what? For those of you who want to put the story in the conscious land where you actually see it and stuff, and you're willing to even feel shitty about it until you feel better about it, you're going to lose weight. Those of you who are like, ugh, just hate it. Oh my God. I'm so like, nobody thinks like me. It's such a burden. It's my cross to bear. For all of you who are like, I'm just not going to do that work. I'm just going to sit back and hope for the best. Guess what? You get to keep eating and being frustrated with yourself and upset and diet hopping. That's what not wanting to see your stories and just letting them be there running on repeat in the unconscious does. So saying, oh, I love me some frustration. I really love being confused as fuck why I'm not changing, even though I keep listening to Corinne all the time. It's because you got to like identify all of these thoughts and then put in the trigger for the new thought. That's all you got to do. Because it's like literally all it takes. It's not near as much work as we want to make it out to be. So what I had you guys do this first little bit is write the stories you have around food, your body. Let's see, it was food, environment, ability to lose weight, your weight loss story, and body story. Couple of comments that I've seen in the Facebook group, because yes, I'm in there snooping y'all like nobody's business. Some of you are finding doing that many stories overwhelming, and it is triggering your brain to have a lot of judgment and to want to shut down. Here's what I advise you to do. Just do one. Pick one of the stories that either seems like going to be the easiest one to do, the one you think will get most traction or whatever. A lot of you can handle doing all five of them, and that's great. Go for it. For those of you who aren't ready to work on all of them, just pick fucking one and leave the others blank. This ain't no like police state where I'm going to come in and be like, oh my God, I looked at your workbook. Why didn't you do all the worksheets? What the fuck's wrong with you? That ain't going to happen. All I need you to do is just do what you feel comfortable doing. So pick one story, do the entire course on that. All the work that we do throughout the entire Breaking Self-Sabotage, focus on the one section. Like, I'm just going to work on my food story. A lot of you are also asking about what is the environment story? This one's really simple. I'll try to change the workbook for future people just to make it a little bit more clear. But all it is like where you eat. it's your environment. So like very often, I used to have this story. I used to think it was harder to lose weight because of certain foods Chris and Logan kept in the house. That was like a story that I had. And so every time I would see if I felt like it was harder because they had their food in the house, guess what? Every time I saw the food, it triggered me to think, oh, see how hard this is. And that set me up to having to do more willpower work and more things like that, like having to say no and it be very resistful. So I had to really examine, was it harder to have those foods or was a better thought for me? I have sentences about the foods Logan and Chris keep in the house. That was a lot easier. Like every time I would see the foods, my brain would go to, and I have sentences about these foods. Some of those sentences may feel harder, so I need to understand which sentences about those particular foods feel hard. That's how I started kind of like breaking down all the stories. Or I would just tell myself, of course these foods are harder because I've never believed anything new. I'm working on being around these foods and understanding how to plan them and understand that I could have them if I really wanted them. I'm just not choosing to have them today. Like really re-examining everything that I told myself around it. So that's the environment story. The other thing that I really wanted to just address out of this section before I coach some people is number one is shame. So for a lot of you, shame is coming up. And I want you guys to really understand that shame is literally just because you are judging yourself. So even if you don't want to rewire your shame story, the one thing you can tell yourself is shame is a clear indicator I have a thought about me. You don't have to get into all the thoughts, but that is a baby step into the direction of really understanding the feeling. Like shame is only here. Disappointment is only here. Whatever feeling you have about yourself, it's only here because like it's telling me I have some thinking about me. So that allows your brain to kind of step back and take a little relief. When you really understand that it's a thought versus I am broken or I am bad or whatever, or I shouldn't think these things, you start really understanding, oh, it's the reason why I feel shame is because I keep thinking that I shouldn't have all of these thoughts. That always will help you like start immediately shifting from feeling so shameful to just being aware of where shame is coming from. And then another thing that I kind of talked about this is like just adding in, I notice I'm thinking whenever you're feeling something like an urge or whatever, putting in, I notice I'm thinking, it also is one of those relief thoughts. It gives you relief from whatever the burdensome type feeling you have in the moment is causing. And then the last thing I just wanted to say about this is a lot of you have past coping behaviors that you are uncovering. And some of you are already just getting some relief and knowing like, oh, now I understand why I am the way I am today. What really worked for me, and I just want to share this, is I did a lot of work on going back and understanding why I want to still clean my plate and things like that. And what I understood, like I just kind of went back and said, okay, it makes sense that today I still struggle with these thoughts. My 12-year-old self, she was just interpreting and doing the best she could. So for a lot of you, what I really wanted to say is that you cope with food a lot. You know, a lot of us do. That's the main reason why most of us are here is because we're using food to cope for, you know, feelings we don't have or feelings that we want or whatever it is. And I think sometimes just telling yourself that my current way that I'm coping with food at one point in my life really helped me. Like that's how I got through something, or that's just how I interpreted or whatever. I got through this part of my life with this. I just don't need it anymore. And I'm learning how to not use it because I don't need it for these reasons. Very often that is such powerful work when you're writing in your journal, doing some of that work, it helps you start, but you just, I don't know, you just start getting some relief from a lot of the things that you've always just believed are broken about you. Okay. Let's do a little bit of coaching and then I'll kind of close out with some Q&A. Actually, MJ, will you raise your hand? What I want to do is I want to try to...
Wow. Hi.
All right, let's get coached.
Now I'm scared.
Don't worry. I don't know. I'm kind of hungry. I haven't had anything since breakfast. So I might chew your ass.
Yeah, okay. You just covered just about everything. So I got through several parts of my life with food. And I guess that's okay then.
Yeah.
I don't have to get through the rest of my life with food, right?
Yeah.
But there's stuff that keeps coming up.
Okay.
And I keep going back to food for it. And okay. Today's my birthday, by the way. Hi.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm in my 60s. And
damn, you look good, woman.
Thank you. Wow. Corinne said I look good. So there's things, though, from when I was a kid that just keep bothering me. And so writing, and I hadn't really given it much attention until I was writing my food stories and my stories around food, and that food equals love. You know, when we were, if we got really sick or hurt really bad, then mom would stay home from the bar and she would fix us chicken soup or grilled cheese or something, some kind of food. We might even get city chicken if you know, it was a real big deal. But, you know, anytime there's a funeral, a birthday, a wedding, any family gathering for any reason had to do with food, and pretty much still does. I mean, people brought me donuts today, and everyone knows that I'm really working to, you know, be controlled about what I eat. And so, but they all, these clunkers, they're your favorite. And I said, well that's
really, is that true?
Thank you.
They are your favorite, right?
Said, thank you. That's really sweet of you to bring that. And it's a very sweet gift. Sweet. But that's how they show they love me, is they bring me food.
But isn't that wonderful?
Is it?
I think so. They're showing you their love. Why do you need them to show it in a different way is the question.
Oh. Because I don't want to eat stuff.
Okay. Like, well, can't they show you love with food and you not eat it?
Yeah. Yeah, they could.
I think, like, this is so important.
Okay, we're done. No.
Well, I think this is important, though, just for you to realize, is that a lot of us are like, well, if they're showing me they love me with food, something's wrong with them, or I'm going to eat. Like, there's no airtime for they thought of me in the past. I've ate the food, so I've probably taught them that I like to have the food. Like, there's nothing going wrong. The only thing that has to happen is when somebody shows me love with food, it just means I still get to choose to appreciate it and stay on my journey. But if you don't tell yourself that, like, if your story is it makes it harder, or that they shouldn't be showing, like, showing love with food is wrong, I don't think showing love with food is wrong at all. If they brought you a salad, would you be bitching?
Or you go, yes.
They brought a salad.
That'd be awful.
Or maybe they, like, we know you're working on yourself, Steph. We brought you a bountiful veggie tray.
Yeah.
Would you be like, thank you for the love?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. You know, that's weird because when you said if they brought you a salad, I picture my salad I eat a lot of times for lunch, which I really like. And my husband picked up romaine for me the other day at the grocery because ours got frostbitten. And I thought, oh, that's really nice. So I was really grateful and felt loved because of the romaine. But if somebody brought me a veggie tray for my birthday, that wouldn't equate to love for me. Is that broken? Is that bad?
No, it's just a choice.
A feeling is a choice?
Yeah, because a feeling is driven by a thought. If somebody brings you a veggie tray and you choose not to see it as love and is disappointing, that's just a choice. It's not broken. It's not bad. It's no fun.
You say that we can choose to think that one way or the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thoughts just come in. And
they do.
The thoughts are just there. I don't choose my thoughts.
No, you choose often. Which ones to keep, though.
Mm-hmm. So when I go thinking about my dad or something, can I tell you a story or do we have to move a little more quickly?
As long as it's not long. You can tell.
I can make it short.
Yeah, I don't want to be bored.
I can make it short. I know. I'm sorry. I don't want to bore you.
I'm just teasing you.
Okay. So I studied French. I got picked to be in a French class when I was in fourth grade. And I did really well. My dad was a genius. He was a chemical engineer. And I wanted to be really smart like he was. And so I did really, really good in school. And I aced all these French tests. And I came in second in the whole country mm-hmm. in a French test that was given up at the university. And I was just in grade school. And it was a really big deal to me.
Yeah.
And Mom picked me up at the university and took me down to the marina. My dad had a marina. And found him, you know, he's all working and sweaty. And I think I was taller than his knees, but as I remember it, I'm hugging him around his knees and saying, Dad, I came in second in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, who came in first?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was crushed and went away. And I know that's just a sentence, who came in first? Well, Jenny, somebody came in first. But to me, it meant I'm not good enough unless I come in first.
Yeah. Well, that's normal for a... What did you say? Second grade or fourth grade?
I think I was in fourth. Yeah.
Okay. So in fourth grade, 13. That is a very normal mental reaction, right?
Okay. I'm 60 now.
Yeah. So what's going to be the new story?
In my 60s.
You get to decide to keep thinking like a fourth grader, or you get to decide to start thinking like a 60-year-old woman who's proud of herself. And her dad was probably proud. He just didn't know how to respond at work.
I can't choose to think those things when
yes,
these other thoughts come.
Right. But listen to what I'm going to say.
Okay.
The other thoughts are going to come. You now know that's a bullshit story. So now when they come in that fast, they are the trigger to think the new one.
The trigger. That's the trigger. So when I feel unloved or unlovable or all this shame, and that's a trigger to think.
To ask yourself, what sentence is going on in my brain right now? When you're feeling unlovable and shame, what am I thinking about right now? And whatever that is, like, you know, I'm just sitting here remembering my dad, you know, he should have said something better or whatever it is. You're like, oh, yeah. And this is the way 60-year-old Steph now decides to think about it. We use the shame. We use the old stories to trigger the new one that we write on paper and decide on purpose that we want to start thinking. You guys are not going to stop thinking your old stories for a long time. They're going to come in first because they've been told since we were in the fourth grade. But just because they come in first isn't the one that we pick. It'd be like going to the grocery store and going to the meat department. Be like, well, that's the first meat I saw. I got to pick it. Or would you stand back and see meat and then choose which meat you want to take home? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so funny when it comes to our thinking. For some reason, we don't go through life thinking the very first thing we see is the thing we have to pick, except for our thinking. The most important shit that we ever do. And we're like, but it keeps coming back. It's like the first thing and it's fast. It's like, so? Get good at listening first, and then you'll get good at changing it.
There's a lot of confusing thoughts, though, because so in that situation, I wanted to show Dad I was really smart, but I wasn't from what he said. Or,
but listen to how you're even talking about it.
Everybody looked at
listen to how you're even talking about it. I wanted to show my dad I was really smart. Mm-hmm. Your new story needs to be, I told him how smart I was. Because that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Just your version sucks for you. I'm just saying, like, when you start talking about it, you always remember to talk about it in a much better way. Like, if I told the story on purpose, rather than arguing for feeling like a shameful, unloved person, which is what most of it is, like, no, let me tell you more about my shameful, unloving story. For fuck's sake, listen. I would just, like, I went, I had done so good. I was really proud. You told that part. I told my dad how smart I was. My dad asked me a question. And I'm still really proud of being this, like, second place in all the nation when I was in the fourth grade.
But I'm not. I'm confused. Am I supposed to be?
Tell me why you're confused.
Well, am I supposed to be the good, smart girl, or am I supposed to be the kind of girls they all looked at in the bar?
Which one do you want to be? It's not confusing. It's a choice. You're like, well, who am I supposed to be? You're supposed to be the person you decide you want to be. And then you go to work on creating her and thinking about her and rewriting your stories to be her. It's not like I'm going to say, well, Steph, let me tell you who you're supposed to be. I want you to be really smart. That's the version.
I am really being smart, wanted
by guys at the bar. Or I could just say, like, no, man, I'm not even wearing a bra right now. We should, like, go for being, like, who cares about being smart? Let's go be hot. You just get to decide. I think that's the problem, is you think that your past is deciding who you are. Your current self is deciding who you are. You're just basing it on your past. I just want you to base it on who you want to be.
Wow. I like that thought.
Good.
Base it on who I want to be. So I get to pick.
It's free.
It's not what everybody else thinks about me. It's free.
Yeah, I'm not even going to charge you extra.
Kidding. Wow. I think I get stuck so often worrying about what other people think about me, or who I am, about who I am, about what I've done with my life or not done. Yeah. And I worry so much about that I do this whole self-sabotage routine.
Yeah. I would just literally spend a lot more time working on, like, every single day writing about who I want to be today, how I want to show up, the opinions I'm going to choose about myself today. Just write about that every single day until she's so clear in your mind that when you have the old thoughts, it's really easy to know when you're out of integrity with who you want to be. The old thoughts will start feeling like right now they're painful, but they're comfortable. They're coming in fast. They're coming in easy. You kind of want to keep them. Like, yeah, but, you know, my dad did say this. Like, you notice how, like, our brains automatically, even something that we don't like to think about ourselves, our brains will go to work to hang on to it simply because we've thought it thousands of times. Doesn't matter if it's not useful. And so what I want you to do is I want you to, like, tell these stories about, like, spend a lot of time writing every day, like 5 to 10 minutes is all it takes. Like, here's who I want to be today. Here's how I want to think about me. Here's the things I want to believe about me today. And let that new story start coming out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And happy birthday.
Wait. Oh. You said it's a lack of integrity?
Yeah. So, like, what happens is like, for me personally, I do so much work on being strong, being courageous, being a leader and all this other stuff. In the moments where I have thoughts of where I feel weak, it's painful to be there. And I don't mean painful like it feels bad. I mean painful because it's like something must be wrong because this feeling is so out of integrity with who I believe I am. But who I believe I am is because for so long, I've wrote about being a strong leader, a courageous, the woman willing to go first, the one willing to make all the mistakes and teach other people. Like, I have thought about who I want to be on purpose for years now. I still do it every single morning. Think about who I want to be for the day. I don't just like wake up and hope for the best. And I do that so much that in these moments where old insecurities come in, where if I'm worried about what other people think, when all that stuff happens for me, I mean, it is like, you know how like on your car dashboard, there are certain lights that catch your eye. Like if the engine's about ready to smoke, you're like, you'll notice that light. You might not notice when you're getting empty, but you'll always notice certain lights. Those are like those lights that come on for me. Like, okay, we need to like figure this out because this is not who we are. That's where I want all of you to get to. I want you to like notice when the thoughts that it's not even who I am anymore. It's not who I believe. It's not who I'm thinking about every single day. Now, when I have my old stories come in, they don't go under the radar anymore. They're just like, wah, tornado siren.
And then think the new story.
Yeah, because right now what's going to happen is you're going to think your old stories and there ain't no indicator lights coming on. Your new story is going to be like, wah, we're trying to think something new. And your brain's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We want to flip the switch to where the new story, you feel so integrity with it that the old story makes you uncomfortable because you just are like, I don't even believe that stuff. And yet I'm thinking it. So that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, but you've got to get started if you want the clock to start running.
Okay.
All right.
So just start writing that every day and thinking that every day. And
who I want to be. It's my choice. I get to decide every day on paper. I get to decide who I want to be. And I spend the rest of the day trying to create her. And when the old thoughts come in first, I remind myself of who I want to be and how I'm going to get there. And I just do that a lot. Ping pong in my brain all day long. The first few weeks, you'll go to bed tired. You'll go to bed tired from doing the work, but you have to remind yourself, I'd rather go to bed tired, trying to figure out the new version of me than go in bed to tired, fucking frustrated because I can't get my shit together.
So this is part of the problem too, is the new version of me I want is who I was 8 years ago before I started gaining all this weight.
Okay. Write about her. She's not the old, but you can't be saying that's the old version. Say, here are the parts of me 8 years ago that I loved. And we're gonna recreate that. Okay. That's all. The nice thing is you know who you would like to be. That'll be easy to recreate. But go back to 8 years ago and figure out the parts that weren't working so well because there were certain parts that weren't easy to keep. And those are things like, and going forward, like here's what got in my way. So here's what I'm going to, like in version 2.0, we fix these things so that she stays around forever. Okay.
So it's not something that broke in my brain that made me sit on the couch that day and eat a whole bag of Twix bars. And
that's why
I started
gaining
weight. It was just a thought.
It was a thought that went under the radar. So you know what I would this is a lesson for everybody. Quit letting the thoughts go under the radar.
Okay. So those were
all that happened.
My thoughts.
Yeah, it's just thoughts. Your brain's not broken, trust me. Nobody's is.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. Wow.
All right, Olivia. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Hey, man.
Hey.
All right, let's coach it.
I am so excited about this.
I've never coached you before, have I?
No, I'm a September baby, and okay. I just like peep in the background.
All right. Like a little chick, little peeps.
Little peep. And I'm hoping to come to October camp so then we can be friends in real life.
There we go.
Okay. So actually, this brought up so many things I had no idea I was thinking ever. Mm-hmm. And that really shocked me because I tend to think of myself as someone who's very in touch with what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking. I'm an actor. So like, that's my bread and butter, right? Is you have to know what you're doing. And I was really, really shocked by a lot of the things that came up. And so the one thing that I would love to talk about is this sentence that I wrote, which is, I'm afraid that when I hit my goal, I'll require so little food to get by that I won't get to eat anything delicious or fun. And that in order to keep the weight off, all I will eat every day is one small meal.
Okay.
And so
do you think that's true?
No. I mean, I know that's not true. I think digging back through, you know, all of the story around my body and what food means to me, I realized that even from a young age, my parents would say, why do you eat so fast? And I would say, to get to dessert, because that's the only part that matters. And so that's kind of always been me.
I just always tell Logan, start with desserts, the best way to go.
It does. I mean, I wouldn't say every day. Most days I literally think, did I put chocolate on my plan today? And then I'll go back and look and be like, oh, thank God I did. And like, that's not what I want to be thinking on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I mean, you can clean all that up.
Right.
You can probably just dig into why do you want chocolate every single day? And there's nothing wrong with wanting it. This is the biggest thing.
Right.
It's like, you got to decide, why do I not want to be thinking that? If it's come, like, if like, oh my God. So it's like asking yourself, so what if I didn't plan chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
The worst that's going to happen are the sentences that'll come through my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'll feel some
shit. And
that's
what I've been doing lately, is trying to plan a sweet every other day to level up. Yeah. And it definitely makes me feel like I want to throw a huge temper tantrum, because I self-soothe with it. That's what its purpose
is. That's where you start digging in. Like, okay, so what is, like, I want to become someone that soothes themselves, mm-hmm. not chocolate soothes. There's right. food soothing, there's self-soothing. So what does it look like for me to actually self-soothe?
Right.
Because let me just tell you, the food doesn't soothe you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what soothes you in that moment when you're eating?
No.
Thoughts about the food.
Mm-hmm.
This is working. Thank God I had this. Like, the only reason why the food soothes you is because your mind switches gears to thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
So do you need a piece of chocolate to allow your brain to switch gears to think about something else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely tied to a lot of diet mentality for sure. Mm-hmm. And not truly believing that I can enjoy weight loss eating healthy foods. For me, I guess.
Well, you're never going to enjoy weight loss eating healthy foods if you have a story that healthy foods suck.
Exactly. And
so it's like unwinding, like, everything that you think about the foods, like, this is, you know, not fair, whatever. Like, the story that I have around healthy, I mean, there ain't nobody in this fucking group, seriously, who eats worse than I did. Like, if I had a vegetable in 10 years, it was amazing, other than a pickle on a burger. And I didn't even like those. I was always like, hold the pickle, you know, like, for God's sake, so I get a fucking, you know, cucumber in me.
Right.
I just didn't eat vegetables. I did like salads a little bit, but with Jell-O, cheese, and French dressing on it, like Jell-O on the salad. I remember making salads and putting Jell-O on it. I'm not joking.
Well, I'm in Utah and everyone's obsessed with Jell-O for some unknown reason.
So. Man, I just was a Jell-O thing. I loved it. But my story around healthy food had to change. I had to quit telling myself that it was a punishment. It was just food. Mm-hmm. Like, I just had to neutralize the original story. It wasn't going to be like, oh my God, healthy food is going to be the gateway to peace or whatever I wanted to, you know, believe. It was literally, I just had to list everything that I was like and just get down to trying new things.
Yeah.
Who knows what we'll think?
Yeah. Shout out to Paige. She's on here. One of my accountability partners has challenged me to just like pick recipes with things that I would never normally do. And that's been great. And the exciting thing about quarantine, if there is such a thing, is that I've used this time to see, let's play around with how much food do I actually need each day.
Yeah.
And I guess the part that I keep getting stuck on is, okay, I'm losing weight. I'm seeing results as I do that. But also all I had for lunch is like nuts and a cheese stick and a fruit cup. And I don't want to eat that every day.
Eat that every day. Like when you say they're going, I don't want to eat that every day. Why don't you want to eat that every day? Because a sentence in your brain.
It sounds boring because it is a sentence in my brain.
Right. It could also just be, rather than saying it's boring, I don't want to eat this every day. The sentence literally could just change. That's just what I chose today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're acting as if your healthy life is going to be imposed on you.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly what I feel. Yes.
Yeah. Well, who is this person who's going to impose all this on you? So far, it sounds like you've been making all the choices, unless there's some weirdo in the background that I don't know about that's just like, Olivia, this is exactly what we're going to be eating today.
Yeah, no, it's definitely me because of the diet mentality. Like, if you want to lose weight, you better eat that fucking chicken and broccoli, bitch.
That's not being imposed on you. It was never imposed on you in the past.
Right.
Like, that's what you got to start. Like, your real work is really understanding, like, everything I will always be a choice. So if I don't want to live this way, rather than dreading having to live that way or afraid you're going to have to live that way, that's your biggest problem is you've got a story around, it's going to be a have to one day. And it's like, everything that I will do in the future will always be a choice. It will be a choice to be overweight, at my weight, eating chicken and broccoli, nuts and cheese sticks, or all the things whatever I choose will always be a choice. Like really just locking in and then like deciding.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
and
really
challenging
excited.
The shit story of like, I'm going to like lose so much weight. I can only eat once a day.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to get to it. And that's the first time in my life I can ever say that I've ever actually felt like I'm doing this for a better life and I'm excited for that. And so
imagine this thought, like, I'm going to lose so much, like I'm going to lose all my, because your first thought is I'm going to lose weight and only be able to eat one meal a day. That's what I'm terrified of. Or you could say, I'm going to lose my weight and I'm going to love the way I eat. It's up to me to figure out how to get there between now and then. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you get to think about that, like as much as you're thinking about the scary side, I want you to think about, and the story also could be, I'm going to love the way I eat because I'm figuring out how to ditch my old thinking and play around and challenge my beliefs. The only reason why I wouldn't want to eat once a day is because right now the sentence in my head is that's bad. The sentence also could be, when I'm smaller, if I eat once a day, it's because I chose not to eat because I was not hungry. That's it.
Yeah.
I might even have a day I choose to eat four times. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like playing with all of it and letting your brain kind of just blow up a little bit. So I think you're doing fine. You're creating your stories. You're finding your stories. And now it's like, okay, and what are optional stories I also can be telling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That feels good. That feels doable.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hopefully see you in October then.
Yeah, we're for real. We hope we're on for July.
I know. Oh God. Yeah, I forgot.
Good news. Nashville does open up for a phase one tomorrow. So Tennessee was already open, but Nashville's opening tomorrow. So we feel pretty good.
Good.
All right.
Well, you're the best. Talk soon.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Haircut, as cute as can be. Let's coach one more, and then I'm going to answer questions. Lois, you are up. Hey, MJ, did you go through and dismiss any of those? Can you leave in the comments in the chat if you're going to dismiss them? You just have to click on dismiss. And I am recording, everyone. Hey, Lois.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I love Olivia. I want to be her friend.
She's cute too.
I know, she's cute. She's cute. I just had to cancel a trip to Utah next week. So we'll see you next year. We'll see you next year. So, hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want coaching on?
Well, so I almost jumped into coaching last night because I've been eating consistently at 8 o'clock at night in my Lazy Boy recliner, which does not serve me. And so I listened to the first gal that got coached last night, and everything that Kathy and she were talking about was like, okay, that's me. Okay, that's me. Oh, all right. Okay, all right. I get it. Okay, so I'll just wait. I'll do the self-sabotage stuff, and then I will, you know, I'll jump in with Corinne because she's scary, and I'm going to get my tissues ready, and we're going to talk a little bit because I think that it's okay. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't. I love you to pieces.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
I don't.
You're scary, bitch.
Well, because you call people out on their shit. That's not so much scary. That's just honesty, and I appreciate that. I like that.
Well,
so I've been with the tribe since September of 19, and I stalked you for a while on the freebies for a bit, and then I jumped in, and I lost 30 pounds, and
awesome.
It was amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing. And so since January, I have stayed in the 230s. And so in February, I gave myself some grace because I got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept myself quite busy with social events, being mindful of eating during that month, not expecting to lose because I wanted to be busy up until the date of the divorce and then move on. And then I said, now I'm going to take some time for myself. And the pandemic said, like, hold my beer. And said, here you go. So I've been in the quarantine and immediately started watching you. And you said, it does not define you. It does not make you eat. And I'm like, I appreciate that. So so we have ramped up our accountability group.
Good.
And we are, we're moving along. We are moving along. So I did the self-sabotage worksheets. And the thing that sticks out to me, because it's like, okay, so you're sitting at 233. You can't get below 230. And it's now been since January. So February, March, April. All right. So you haven't gained, but you haven't lost. So what is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I, under the weight loss story, I highlighted the sentence that said, what worries or fears do you have about what life will be like when you hit your goal? And I put, I worry I won't keep it off. I worry about attention on me as I lose the weight. It's been really easy to hide behind comedy because I'm a jokester, mm-hmm. and weight issues, you know, because I think, well, nobody's looking at me. I was 262. Right?
Why do you want people not to look at you?
I don't know. You know what
well,
I
just,
mean?
Because
I know.
Give me like an idea of like, all right, so let's say I come up and be like, oh my God, you're looking good. What are you doing?
I'm getting to the point now where I say thank you.
Yeah, but what goes on in your brain? I know what comes out your mouth, but what is going on in your brain? If you're like, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get attention.
God, you know, I don't know. And maybe that's a therapy question and maybe I'll look for a therapist. I don't know. But I think I can figure this out on myself. Actually,
I think it's a question you just need to answer.
Yeah. So ask me the question again.
All right. Somebody gives you attention, like one of the things that's holding you back from getting out of the 230s is, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get attention.
Yes.
People are going to comment on my weight. Do you mean like male attention or people commenting, or can you kind of like dial in what you think is trouble?
Well, now I think maybe male attention, because now I'm going to be back out on the market.
So let me ask you this. Why, like, this is the funny thing. Do you want to be back out on the market or not?
Well, eventually I will. I've only been divorced since February, and I follow stalking that little PNP 55 and single group, and I think, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that. But yes,
but
I do.
But right, but that's a choice.
Yeah.
Because like, you're like, ugh, you said it like, I'm going to have to get back out on the market.
Right. I might have to get contacts again. Like, I'm really going to have to.
You don't have to do any of that. I want you to listen to how you're talking. You're talking about like the last person. Like, I'm just going to have to eat one meal a day.
You're right.
If you want to go out with a man, it will be because you choose. It's not going to be like, knock, knock, knock. I am your man. I know you're losing weight. We have to go out. Like, no, you can't even say no.
Right.
Like, but that your brain is imagining, like, you're just going to have to start dating. It's like, I think it's one of these things where it's like, if I want to date, I will be dating because I choose to.
Yes.
If I want to not date, it will be because I choose not to date. Like, just cleaning up that language a little bit, because it's, do you see how the way you were talking about it as if it's like, it's such a burden?
Like, yes. Yeah, I am. I'm a little nervous about it.
Why are you nervous?
Because I haven't done it in 26 years.
That's not why you're nervous. That's a circumstance. I haven't dated in 26 years. Why are you nervous though? All There's right. a thought in between there.
I think that I'm afraid for somebody to see my body, probably. Okay.
So that's what you're going to have to clean up, because this is the story you've got to really be working on, because that's what's holding back your weight loss. If you are worried, one, that you have to date, and then when you have to do all this dating, the reason why you're probably repulsed about dating, it's like, let me ask you this. If I could find you a man who was like real into you and he had money and all the looks, he was like, no, I love her. Like, I saw that coaching call. Love came over me. Would you go with him or no?
Yeah, I'd do that date at about 6 foot social distance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's pretend that's all over with.
Let's pretend it's all done.
We just jump his bones, whatever we need to do.
All right.
That's where I want you to see where self-sabotage is happening in two places for you.
Okay.
New relationships.
Yes.
Because of fear of being rejected. Because right now you're rejecting, and you're just basically now rejecting yourself and your weight loss. It's like, so I don't have to be rejected by men because of my body. I'll just keep a body that I don't really want.
Right. Which does not serve me. We talk about this daily. This does not serve me.
No.
I want this.
But you have to be, like, this is where you're going to have to really work. You're going to have to want your body now, and you're going to have to want your future, too. You're going to have to start talking to yourself about, like, is this the body I have? I was listening to a podcast the other day. Actually, no, this was another life coach. She sent me a private video that she made of a class she's teaching, because she just, like, basically she respects my opinion and stuff. And she said, you know, because she has a lot of weight to lose too. And in the video, she said, I choose loose skin. Like, I choose the difficulty of losing my body I choose that pain and to work on it over choosing the pain of not having what I want in my life, not having control over food, the pain of every day knowing I want something so bad and not going after it. And so, like, when she said that, I thought, that is so good, because I want you to choose a body that you might not love right now, and you might not even love at the end, but you'll choose to work on it and go for it and do it over what you're currently choosing, which is sitting around, frustrated, wanting things that you can't have.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Okay. Yay.
But I want you to really work on it, because you're sabotaging, like, you've got a story around dating that I think if you took away fear of rejection, if you're just like, I would date, I would be going, like, if I wasn't afraid of their opinion, would you go out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I would just work on being okay with other people's opinions about your body. And that starts with you being okay with your body first.
Okay. Yay. See, this was good. I didn't even cry.
There you go. Uh-huh. I promise you, if you do that part, I think you'll see the weight loss is a lot easier for you. You won't sabotage, because right now you're eating to keep away from fear of rejection.
It's like insulating. It's like insulating myself.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. It's like, well, I don't want to be rejected by someone, so I'll just, like, reject my dreams.
Yes.
Rather than being like, the worst that's going to happen when somebody rejects me is my thinking about their rejection. Mm-hmm. If I get to the point where someone can say, like, I don't like you because of your body, And you, and like, you don't have to think they're an asshole and be like, I get it. For a long time, I didn't like my body either. So, right. But you're not my person, because now I'm in it to win it for somebody who's going to love this body like I do.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't have to hate them. You don't have to feel bad and stuff. You just be like, well, I don't like your opinion either.
Right. Yay. And that is my personality. So, you know, deep down. Thank you so much. I
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. Yay.
You're welcome.
Go mighty Michigan.
You survived.
Thanks.
Y'all act like I am like so awful to get coached by. I think I'm quite delightful to get coached by. I changed lives, bitches. All right. Let's see what we got here. Coming from judgmental parents and grandparents, commenting on everyone else's looks and sizes, I have this paranoia that I'm being judged by everyone. What statement can I make when paranoia tries to take over? Well, I hate to tell you, Kelly, your paranoia is true. You are being judged by everybody because everybody has a brain. That's what a human brain does. A human brain looks at other people. Like, this is how we survive as a species. We go out into the world. We size other people up, but they're not judging you to make you feel bad. They're judging you to make themselves not feel bad. That's what brain, they want to feel safe. So that's like number one. It's like a lot of times it's just understanding. It's like, oh yeah, people are judging me just like I'm judging them right now, thinking that they are thinking these things. The other hack that you can do, Kelly, is like, understanding that whatever you're afraid other people are thinking of you, write all that down. That's the very thoughts you probably have about yourself. Look at what things you're afraid other people are going to think and ask yourself, and do I agree with them? And if you do, then you get to, like, you either can have compassion and be like, oh yeah, it would be really normal for someone to think that because sometimes I do too, or you can look at it and be like, is that the collection of thoughts I want to keep for myself? Or is this the kind of thoughts that I want to start allowing other people's judgment? Like, I want to start hearing, like, I think they're thinking this, and let that trigger me to be like, but I'm going to think this about me. That will help you strengthen your relationship with yourself. How can I shift this thought? If I lose my weight, my mother wins the battle. Here's how I would think about it. Nobody wins anything when you lose weight. It's just a falsehood you've told yourself. Like, you and your mom aren't battling over your weight. Your mom has opinions about your weight. You have opinions about your weight. And rather than trying to prove her wrong, but like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spite my mother and keep all my weight on, even though I really want to lose weight. What if you just decide, like, this is not a battle anymore. I'm just doing me. I've just been thinking this is a battle. She's just had a lot. Like, this is what happens with people. They have a lot of things they say to you guys, all the things, but every sentence that's ever come out of the mouth and that ever will come out of the mouth of someone out of their mouths is now just a circumstance in your world. You still have to take ownership of the thought in the sentence you allow yourself to keep around it. So just notice, what the hell is she saying? And then I go to town thinking, what? This is a battle. And you just tell yourself, this is a battle, or we both agree about my dream of losing weight. She just doesn't have an eloquent way of saying it. I'm a twin and she is a size zero and I'm a 14. I have heard this my whole life. She's so little and you were so big. How do I get this out of my head? You don't. Guys, you don't get it out. Y'all are like, we ain't the exorcist around here. Our job is not to like splash holy water on our brains and like, be gone, Satan. That's not what we're doing around here. Your job is to notice when you think that, have something that you on purpose want to think, so that when like this should be very easy for you. You know the sentence that lights you up. And you're like, how do I get over it? There's nothing to get over. I have been told all my life, you are so big. That's a sentence that's been told to me. Now, what do you want to think about you? Like, literally, I wouldn't even like worry about all of it being told to you. I'd just be like, but what do I want to think about me now that I've been told all my life I'm so big. Now I just want to think about how much I'm working on myself. That's it. I'm a September baby. I'm doing all the things. I eat healthy, 2 to 2. I haven't lost more than 7 pounds. Let me ask you, when you say I'm doing all the things, does that mean zero overeats? Debbie, you got your hand raised. I'm going to call on you. I saw a Debbie Wasserman. Did you lower it? Raise your hand again. I think I saw you with your hand raised. Raise your hand if you want to get coached. I don't see you. Oh, there you are. I knew I saw your hand up. Man, I got a memory like a steel trap, y'all. All right, Debbie. Well, I can't hear you. Say something. No, I can't hear you. You're going to have to turn your audio on. I'm going to answer a question while you get your audio going. How do I get past the story of I am not very introspective and never have been so I don't know how to journal, model, or TDL? You quit telling yourself I'm not very introspective and I don't know how to do all this. You start telling yourself I'm going to write today for 5 minutes. I'm going to see what's coming up in my brain. Rather than saying I'm not very introspective, just start saying I'm going to see what comes up in my brain. I'm going to surprise myself today. I'm going to find a thought. That's all you got to do. Like, I think y'all may, like, you're like, yeah, but I've always told myself this. So it's like, I'm like, so what do you want to be thinking? So now when you tell yourself, I'm not introspective. I don't know how to journal. I don't know how to model, blah, blah, blah. You tell yourself, I'm figuring it out. Guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to write for 5 minutes. It's going to be fun. No telling what's going to come out of this brain. I hadn't been digging. Let's see. What do you do when the self-sabotage comes from a place of worrying about falling back into an unacceptable eating disorder? I plan my food and then I don't follow because I'm afraid my plan is too restrictive. And then I eat from fear of anorexia coming back. Need to start reassuring yourself. Like what I would do, Julie, is I would talk to myself every single day about here are all the ways anorexia is not coming back. I now think these things about myself. I now do these things that are very different from those days. I think it would be really helpful for you to do that every single day. Like list like 10 reasons why it's not going to come back. 5 ways I live my life now that are very different. And then you said, because what you're going to need to do is like, you're going to need to like listen for, I would also have like, and a thought today that might get in my way is, and the way I want to think about it is, I think that would help a lot. Debbie, do you know what's going on with your stuff? Oh, she's connecting to her audio. Okay. Let's see. All right. We got some sound.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I was going to say, I got some sound now. I just don't know which one of them needs to start.
You can hear me now?
Yeah. So just turn your video on and then we're good to go.
Okay.
All right. There we go. All right.
Ugh, I'm horrible.
So when you say I'm doing all the things, that means September zero. Do what?
So I'm doing the 4 basics.
Yeah, but like zero overeats.
I'm doing my water and.
But zero overeats.
No.
Okay, that's not doing all the things. I want to say this first, okay?
Okay.
Because this is, Kathy and I just did a podcast on this. No, I just did a Facebook Live on this Wednesday. You can't say I'm doing all the things ever again.
I don't think I'm really overeating. I'm sticking to my plan.
But I don't want you to argue with me about the thought. Here's what I want you to do, because this is what's happening. You believe you're doing all the things.
Okay.
The scale is saying you aren't.
Right.
So do you want to hang on to your story or do you want the scale to move?
I want to not be so worried about the scale. I want to be happy that I'm doing the water and I'm eating healthy.
Well, you can be happy.
Even if the number doesn't show up on the scale, I'm trying not to be so tied to the number.
Okay. But don't worry about what I just said. Do you want to lose weight or not?
I do.
Okay. So the reason why you can't think I'm doing all the things is because it's not helping you figure out new things to do.
Okay.
It just keeps you doing these things, which what I want you to do is be like, I'm really proud of the things I've been doing. And I want to see what else I can do. Because if you have such a good track record, then that's awesome. You should be very proud. Like, I got my water down. I got my sleep down. I'm doing the 2-2-2. I'm planning. Now, what's the next thing to work on is the question. Rather than, I'm doing all the things. I'm so worried. So tell me, if you were going to pick the next best thing to work on to lose weight, and you're already doing a lot of good work, what would that be?
I don't know. That's where I'm stuck.
Take a guess. I just want you to guess. You know what you've been eating and what your problems are. I don't, like, the only thing I do know is I'm not at your house right now.
Well, that's a problem. I want you to come here. I want
you
to
you don't. Right. Y'all all think we'd be having fun and games. I'd be sitting on the couch going like,
I want you giving me a hard time.
Somebody bring me some water. I'd be lazy.
Oh, God.
Like, take a guess.
Well,
just
I know you always say that it doesn't matter, but like, I used to exercise more and I have all these physical things going on. So I'm not, the weight came on when I wasn't exercising as much.
No,
I wish
but that's
I could
not why the weight
more.
Came on.
It is.
If you
it
stopped
really
exercising and you tamped down your eating to only when you were hungry to match your energy level, would the weight have come on?
I don't know. I
no.
don't know.
If I quit exercising tomorrow, let's say I'm going to take 6 months off. Do you think I'd be coming on here going, fuck me, I couldn't exercise at all for 6 months. I gained 10 pounds. What do you think would happen in Corinne's world?
You dial down the eating.
Yeah.
Even if it was healthy.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't be as hungry.
But yet you say you're not supposed to be hungry. And you're supposed to meet yourself where you are.
I didn't say you're not supposed to. Wait a minute. What's a negative two?
When you're starting to feel grumbles.
When you're hungry.
A little bit.
You got to wait till you're hungry. Are you waiting until you're hungry?
I thought I was, but maybe not.
All right, so if you're asking maybe, then what I would do is I would challenge myself.
Do the water.
Have
you
think done
you're
the
hungry?
Yeah, have you done the on-the-clock challenge?
Not consistently, but I tried it, yeah. But
what
I
happened when you tried it?
It held off a little bit.
Yeah. You may just need to wait a little bit more, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to not be confused. The only reason why you're confused is because you're sabotaging yourself because you're worried it won't work.
Because it never has before.
Yeah, you're
like when I starved myself, I lost all this weight, but of course put it back, and that's why I'm here.
Right. And so you can't tell yourself that worked.
Right. That's why I left Weight Watchers for you. Because my Weight Watchers coach said to me, we have to face it, Debbie. We're going to be here for life. And that was, I think she thought it was positive, and I thought it was the most negative thing she ever said to me.
Your weight? Is that what she said? Your weight?
She said being at Weight Watchers.
Oh.
Let's just face it, we're going to be here for life.
Okay.
And to me, that was such a negative thing to say that just get used to it. You're always going to gain the weight back and you're always going to be back here.
Well, let's do this.
That was horrible.
Well, you know, and who knows what she was thinking, but let's think about this. You are trying to figure out what to do next from fear and thinking about all the things that never worked. So I want everybody does this. So everybody really needs to pay attention to this. if you're going back and you're focusing on what's never worked and what you're most afraid of, do you think your brain is like, I know exactly what to do next? Or is your brain just like, oh my God, freaking out?
So when I count how many months I've been in the tribe and I thought I'd be at my, where I should be by now, I'm just getting like upset and scared and being negative on myself that I've been here so many months and I haven't been successful.
But you have been successful. That's the funny thing. You told me the one thing you wanted was to be very proud of your four basics. And you act like that is not your choice. Like, you get to decide, this is how long I've been in the tribe, and I'm really consistent and good at the basics. Now it's just time to figure out when I level up. Or you get to decide, this is how long I've been in the tribe, doing the four basics, and I must suck because I'm not at my goal weight.
I'm positive with everybody else, but I'm always negative on myself.
Yeah. So we want to like use the skill of being like, now what you want to do is when you catch yourself throwing shit at Debbie, you're like, well, if this was Debbie's best friend, what would Debbie be saying?
Oh, I'd be so supportive and positive.
Yeah. So now I want you to use your negative internal triggers, like your conversation. I want that to trigger you to be like, and what would positive Debbie say to someone else? Okay, now I just want to think that. And you got to like start rerouting your brain. But here's the thing. I want you to stop thinking I'm doing all the right things. All of you, please never, ever, ever use that ever again. I never allow myself to think that. I stop it dead in its tracks because it is a thought that cuts creativity, problem solving, curiosity, cuts it straight out of the loop.
That there's always more that you can do. You can always do better.
Always. We always have opportunity to look around, but we can't look around when we're holding on to, I'm doing all the right things. Because that just locks you in. So I'm going to ask you again. So I just want you to take a deep breath. And let's just imagine for a minute that you are proud of your four basics. Like, I've got them unlocked. And now all I want to do is question some stuff. If I was going to try one new thing this week, what would be the first thing I would try to see what happens?
Every time I think I'm ready to eat, I'm going to wait, have some more water, I'll wait half an hour, and see if I'm still ready to eat.
Yeah. It's so simple. And then what would be another thing you might try next week?
Work on the other side of the scale, of the eating scale, and make sure that I'm really just eating to the plus two.
Yeah. I think like when you kind of like cut yourself some slack, and sometimes what it takes, Debbie, literally, is noticing when you're kind of like when you first started the call, you were kind of ginned up. Like, you could tell your physical energy was like, I know you're probably nervous also talking to me. I like made you like raise your hand.
Well, I also want to put like a bag over my head. I hate the way I look.
Oh, please. You see me come to y'all live half the time on my couch. My hair is like a fucking troll most of the time. You look great. I want you to like just sometimes take a deep breath with yourself and just say, okay, I just want to write down what I'm worried about and stuff. Let me like clean out the junk first. Like, I'm worried about these things. These are the sentences going through my head. Now what I want to do is like draw a line down the paper. And on this side, if I was just going to take guesses and try things and make this easier to figure out, what would be one thing I'd be doing? And then you just go to work on that. Like, literally, guys, weight loss is like throwing darts with a blindfold on. Whatever you land on is the thing you probably should work on next.
Yeah, right.
Just pull something out.
Yeah, just pull something out. Like, and start with your twos. Like, start on one side, like you said, and then focus on the other side. See what you learn. Rather than, like, I'm so worried it won't work. So, like, I'm like, every time you think, I'm so worried this isn't going to work. I'm doing all the right things. We're like, oh, no. We're learning. This is all about figuring out the next thing. And then you just start tackling overeats and asking yourself, you know, overeats. I'll figure those out too.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. I already answered some of these questions. Okay. All right, guys. We've been going at it for a while. I'm going to get out of here. Y'all have a good one. We will be back next week and we will start the next. So if you're following along right now, you're going to be doing the Fat Girl Thinking stuff for next week. We'll do the workshop worksheets on that. We'll coach around that. That's going to be an important topic. That is the one that I really figured out for myself when I was losing weight. I started clearly identifying this is the thinking I did when I was, and when I say fat girl thinking, guys, I don't want you guys like attaching a thought that it's bad or whatever. It's just like, I just called it like, she's going to be with me for the rest of my life. There's going to be a version of me that whines, that bitches. Sometimes she's scared. Sometimes she's bossy. Sometimes she is terrified. Sometimes she's depressed. Like, she is just this other version of me that lives in my brain. And I want to work with her, because if she's going to be with me until the day I die, we better get along. I want to have an amazing relationship with her, and I want to understand her like a boss and know when she's trying to take over and let her know, no, ma'am, I got this. I'll do the work for us. Okay. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.